Welcome to Start Me Up, the Patrons Only Edition with Stephanie Walton. She's my guest
What's
today. I changed.
Oh, sorry. I cut you off and you were still going to go. You were still going.
That's because I changed my intro a little bit and I just kept talking and I shouldn't have. I should have let you say, go ahead.
Hey, everybody, what's up?
I screwed it up, but I'm not going to care. And you know what? I have decided this is usually the Patrons Only show. So I did announce it that way, but I'm going to make this one free because why not, right? It's usually just if you're new to this, this is how I do it. I do two free shows on Mondays and Wednesdays, and then I do what I like to currently call Kimberly's After Party, which is basically just whatever I feel like talking about as soon as I'm finished with the free show. So that's two of those. Cool. And then I do two patrons only shows, usually with you, every month. One is for patrons that sign up for $4 or less. And then the second one is $5 or more. So you get one patrons only show if you sign up for $4 or less, and you get both patrons only shows if it's $5 or more, if that makes sense. And I'm not exactly sure what's going to happen in the future, A, with you, because I don't know what you're going to be doing. And then I have announced that I can't say who it is, but you know, I'm going to be doing advertising soon. So I will be doing a show. I think I'll do one of those things like what Bob Seska does, where he gives the patrons an opportunity to, you know, get a commercial ad free show. So we'll see what happens moving forward. But I know there's going to maybe be some changes during this year, just because we don't know what's going to happen with your situation and vocation.
Right. Right.
So we'll just keep it loose for now. And fucking Trump was impeached a second time.
Two-time loser.
Oh my God.
He doubled down on his loser status.
So cool. Oh my God. And I'm looking right now. You know, I didn't prepare anything for this because I figured that we would just have so much to talk about anyway. But it looks like right now, Jared and Ivanka told the Secret Service not to use any of the half dozen bathrooms in their home. So the federal government has been spending $3,000 a month, more than $100,000 to date, to rent a basement studio with a bathroom from a neighbor. They are so disgusting, these fucking people. These fucking people.
Wait a minute. What is up?
I know. They're so gross.
Here's the thing. You know, oh, Ivanka's going to attend the inauguration. Like, she's delusional.
Yeah. I know, she's delusional.
Nobody
she thinks she's going
to
be the president.
See her.
She thinks she's going to be the president.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it's lunacy.
And the thing is that, you know, unless she's in jail, there's a possibility that she could, you know, at least get the nomination. And I'm not sure because the GOP is so sexist. But, you know, I mean, one of my bigger fears is that the Republicans will nominate a woman and she'll win before a Democratic woman does. Hopefully, though, we won't have to worry about that. Hopefully, Kamala Harris will be the first woman. But, who the hell knows what's going to happen? But I'm afraid, like, if the Democrats run a black woman and the Republicans run a white woman, you know what I mean? Then those are the only two choices. And it's going to be some horrible white woman like Ivanka or something, or Nikki Haley. And
you don't think it's going to be Liz Cheney?
Okay, I know she ran before. Now she's, I mean,
it's not. It's 2021. Like, look at me. Like, you don't think it's going
to
be Liz
Cheney? I honestly don't know, but I mean, whoever it is, you know, is going to be somebody. And it's really tough for me to imagine the Democrats. I'm sorry, the Republicans nominating a woman. It's very hard for me to imagine that. But, you know, I mean, we're just going to have to wait and see. I'm so concerned about did you hear the latest news about the DNC?
Jamie Harrison?
Yes, he's going to be the one running it, which I'm happy with because, Stacey Abrams said she wanted to run for governor in Georgia. So my personal dream, she gets to choose whatever the fuck she wants, but my personal dream for her is she can be the governor of Georgia, and then she will be the president of the United States, and then she'll sit on the Supreme Court. That's what I would really like. That would be like my ideal.
That.
Yeah, like my ideal path for her. But I'm not trying to say that I know best. She's going to decide what she wants to do. so she could do that. But I'm going to support that woman no matter what she does. But that's right. That's the path that I would love to see her go down, because I think she's just phenomenal. And I know I'm not alone.
Right. No, she's amazing.
Oh, my God.
You know, and to watch her at work in action doing what she does with, yeah, you know, Georgia. I did a lot of phone banking, uh-huh, through the Latino Victory Fund. And she teamed up with a lot of... with Luis Miranda and with like Mi Familia Vota and
right,
a woman by the name of Gigi Pedraza, who's doing on the ground stuff in Georgia, mm-hmm, with Latino voters there. I watched Stacey like waltz on to the Zoom and be like, here's how we're going to do this. This is a coalition.
Mm-hmm.
And it was incredible.
Wow.
But it was like, it wasn't because I'm special. It's because I just said, yeah, I'd like to do these calls, and everybody was invited.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild. Pretty freaking wild.
Stacey Abrams is like, I bow to her for the rest of my life. I bow to her.
I know. She's amazing.
Wow.
She's amazing. Yeah. I've been kind of, you know, we've been obviously watching the news like crazy mm-hmm lately. And last night was a pretty remarkable night with people just coming out, and like Adam Schiff threw down so hard on Lawrence O'Donnell. Did you see that?
I didn't see. No, like, but I mean, I love him. Yeah, but I didn't
see. People are just not
good.
Playing.
Good.
They're just not. Nobody's mincing words. Nobody's
right.
You know, and
finally.
It's not that they've, you know, lost all sense of decorum or whatever, but like our democracy is at stake. Our, you know, members of the Democratic Congress, our lives are in danger.
Yeah.
You know, I guess that freakazoid Paul Gosar from Arizona,
yeah,
who apparently organized.
Right.
He
was one of them. Yeah.
And his brother was on Lawrence saying, dude orchestrated the whole thing.
Wow.
So people are gonna go to jail.
Yeah.
Okay. And I am, as they say, here for it.
Yeah.
Like, let me just tell you, we have endured far too much as a country and as a people, and mm-hmm, not just as Democrats who voted against the pussy grabber in chief, the horrible, mm-hmm, human being, if we even want to refer to him as that, who has been ruining our lives for the better part of, 5 years.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just, look, this time next week, Biden is going to be the president. Now, that doesn't mean our problems are all going to go away, but I feel like this is, we're finally coming to the end of this chapter. We've got a new chapter to start. We have a lot of work ahead of us, and there's a lot of obstacles in our way. But I think that with Pete, you know, when we have somebody like Stacey Abrams, when we have Jamie Harrison, when we have these leaders who really understand, I mean, as you know, Jamie Harrison didn't win his election, but he raised, I don't know, some ridiculous amount of money. How much did he raise? $100 million or something like that?
Insane amounts.
Yeah. So he obviously knows what he's doing there, and I trust him. Plus, Stacey Abrams left the template for him and, you know, anybody in the future. So, and again, she can, you know, get on the phone with him, whatever it is. Hey, here's something I did. You know, I mean, everything has been documented. They know what they're doing. So I think that she would make an amazing Georgia governor. And
oh God, yes.
Looking at this, I mean, I'm so relieved that Biden is going to be the president. And you know what? Okay. I'm just going to say that I've talked about my friend who's a psychic, and she did predict, so this, you didn't know, I don't know if I told you this, but I said this on my after party, I think, before, but basically when it was announced that Biden won, and then that they were going to have Georgia runoffs, I asked her at that time, who do you think do you think the Democrats are going to win? And so she said, well, and she saw, and she didn't even know the names. But she said she thought that Loeffler
didn't even know the name.
No, she didn't.
Meanwhile,
she didn't.
You and I are like dreaming. I could tell you their freaking birth dates, height, weight, and middle names. For Christ's sake.
Well, she said, I don't think the blonde woman will win, meaning Loeffler. So she said, but I don't know about the other one. meaning Asaf. So I know he had the hardest time, as you know, during, you know, between election day and the runoff. I know that he was struggling more. So then it was interesting because I talked to her a few days before the election. Her tune had changed. She said, I think they're both going to win. And so I said, okay, so what percentage do you think they're going to win? She said, I give them about 85%, you know, her own number. So, and she was right, which I think was interesting because Asaf did, first of all, his win was announced after Warnock, and he did have a little bit of a harder time. So that's fascinating to me that initially she wasn't sure about Asaf, but then she did feel sure, about 85% sure, and now they both won. So she, you know, I talked to her the other day, and she said she maintains, I should say, that she does see Trump in handcuffs. She's when I've asked her in the past about time, you know, like how does psychics figure out time or whatever? What's the deal? And she's like, she said that's very tricky because you can't, unless you get a date, unless you see in your mind a date or something like that, it's just based on, it feels like it's close, it feels like it's far, whatever. So she tends to think that Trump will be in handcuffs within a year and a half. And if you think about it, he's going to have to go through trials and, you know, all that stuff. So, I mean, how long did it take for OJ? It took like a year or over a year. I think it was October.
Oh my God.
Wasn't it in October? So from June.
I think it was in my 20s still then.
Yeah, Jesus. I know. I think it was like June 94 to October 95 or something like that. So, I mean, you know, we'll see. We'll see if her prediction comes true. I certainly hope that it does. Anyway, and for those who don't know, and I will be extremely brief because I've told this story. This woman I've known for a really long time, and there have been a couple of times that she had like predicted. Like this one particular time, my ex was going out with someone and I didn't know anything about it. And she told me everything. She gave me all the details of how they met, what she does for a living, what she looked like, the length of her hair, the color of her hair, I think her name. And there's no way I didn't even know about any of this. In fact, I
and
told her
she was
her,
right.
She was 100% right. And it was so funny because I had told her specifically, if you see her, because I figured he was dating someone. And I can't even, he might have told me that he was, but I don't remember. I just figured that he was. And so I told her, I said, I don't want to know. If you see it, I don't want to know. And then, of course, like 2 weeks later, she calls me up. She goes, I can see it now. And I was like, all right, what is it? So she goes line by line and she's giving me the details. So the funny thing is that I called him up, and I'm telling the longer version, but I called him up and I'm like, hey, you met somebody, didn't you? Yes. And I said, well, did you meet her when you were working? Yes. Does she have shoulder length brown hair? Yes. And then I'm like, I said, is she a nurse? And then he goes, how do you know all this? And I lied to him. And I said that I had a dream to try to make it look like I had a premonition dream or something. But she was right about that. 100%. Now, she's not right about everything. No psychic is. But, you know, she made the prediction that Trump was going to win in 2016. She predicted that he was going to lose this time. And she predicted the Warnock and Asaf win. So, you know, that's pretty good. And she also kept seeing that light-skinned black woman. She just kept repeating that to me over and over. And she got confused over it because she was saying it when Kamala dropped out. And I kept telling her, Kamala dropped out. And she's like, I don't know what to say. I just keep seeing it. So, and that was, you know, it's like, she's pretty good. I mean, in this case, she's been pretty good. So, you know, we'll see within a year to a year and a half, if Trump is in cuffs, she gets another check mark. So we'll see. But it's just kind of fun. You know, I mean, I don't pay her for these. I used to pay, but and she's not very expensive, but I used to pay her for readings, you know, back in my late 30s because I was obsessed with boys and stuff. But, you know, I always, whatever guy I liked, or if I didn't have a guy, I was always like, when am I going to meet somebody? And and then I just got over it. You know, I mean, it's like, I don't give a shit. So I don't really do psychic readings with her anymore. In fact, I don't want to because I, you know, I'm doing this whole manifest, like deliberate manifesting, which is just awesome. And I love it. But to me, the way I look at it is like when I was younger, I was searching outside of myself for answers. And now it's not that I'm looking for answers. I'm just creating the life that I want without trying to get answers. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I wasn't happy before. You know, I can't describe myself as a young person as unhappy. I was just not satisfied. And so I kept looking for something, and I kept looking for answers, or I thought I was going to be satisfied if I met somebody or whatever. And it turns out, yes, I mean, meeting Bob was very satisfying, but I also think that you have to have that balance, and doing this right now, talking to you, is part of that balance. And
heck yeah, girl.
It just feels really good. It feels so good.
It does. It really does feel good. It feels fantastic.
Oh,
listen,
my God.
I got to tell you, I think it's funny, not funny. I love it. Let me change it. It's funny that we met however many years ago we met.
Yeah.
You and your mom came in and did the show. And now it's like, I called you. I like, can you talk? And here we are like 10 years later. You know what I mean? And you're on the other coast. And
yes.
I'm here. And yet this friendship has developed. And you're somebody that I'm freaking leaning on from California in my time of need. And I just think that's really funny how we met, but then rad that's happening.
Totally. And there was a long period of time that we didn't talk. I mean, we didn't start a friendship. I mean, I did your show. And then we just went our separate ways. And then you contacted me in 2016 about I think you were contacting me about American Woman. And I said, well, I have a new book coming out or something like that.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So then, and then I went to the studio, and I remember, that was fun. I have this memory of driving in San Francisco. And I parked my car far away, right? Because there's no fucking parking in San Francisco. So I parked my car really, really far away, and I was really worried about running late. So I didn't make a mental note of where I was. And then when the show was over, I completely forgot where my car was. And I was walking around and I couldn't find it. I'm like, fuck. And so I wound up, I had some ideas in my mind, like markers that I'm, uh-oh. Hold on.
What's happening?
Can you hear that?
Yes.
Some alarm is going off. Well, I'm just going to talk through it. I hope my home isn't on fire. But anyway, so I think I saw a fire truck.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God. I hope this doesn't happen the whole fucking show. But I saw a fire truck, and I like, they were just going slow. They clearly weren't going after a fire. And I like waved them, and I'm like, hey, damsel in distress. And I explained to them, I'm like, okay, these are the buildings that I remember. Here are the things that I remember. And they helped me find my car. It was so cool.
Wow.
I just thought of that. I haven't thought of that since that day. I was just so relieved.
You know, I remember exactly why I reached out to you, and you are correct. You had just written Peyton's Choice, and you were like, yeah, I just wrote this new book. I'd love to be on the show. You came, we did it. It was right before the election.
We thought Hillary was going to win. We were so fucking,
we were smug
I know.
About it. Okay. I posted a picture to the Lady Brain Facebook page that said, here we are laughing about Mike Pence.
Right. Then,
okay. And then you like, ha ha ha. And then you and I did the donate to Planned Parenthood Mike Pence's name, which of course exploded. Thank you very much.
Yes. And then someone else got the credit for it. Fuck that.
They tried, but let me tell you what, I've done a lot of work, and I've got a lot of contact with Planned Parenthood.
Good.
Over the years.
Yeah.
And I don't hesitate to mention that we started that every time. We still get donations in his name.
Wow.
All the time.
Let me just say, it was your idea. So it was your idea. I had the platform power.
Yeah, you had the platform.
And then I had
a
friend. Yeah, the friend
who
made a meme.
We exploded it.
Yeah, and it was amazing. It was so fucking cool. I'm so glad that you're telling people, because basically somebody on Instagram saw that meme that we created and did their own little post like, hey, why don't we just donate to Mike Pence? You know,
without saying some, you know, these other chicks came up with
right.
it.
And then that
you
was
wrote what... then you wrote an op-ed in the HuffPost and laid it out. Listen, people. But it's great, and it raised a ton of money.
Yeah.
So we, you know, we did laugh at him in our own way,
yeah.
and hopefully, you know, it did good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but we were smug.
So that
we
was
were
a
smug.
Long, that was we were smug. We were certain. Mm-hmm. We had no doubt in our mind. Then the week after you, I had a comedian by the name of Will Durst on.
Yes.
Do you know Will? Okay.
Yes.
Hysterical, political satirist, just brilliant San Francisco guy. He's got some of the best comedic timing of any stand-up comic I have ever in my life seen. Anyway, Will was on and he was making me laugh so hard. Like it would have been like a milk through the nose moment. Like every sentence that came out of his mouth. And you know, he was talking about Trump. We were sure, same thing. Mm-hmm. Just riding that smug ass wave to the finish line, only to want to like, you know, end it. Oh my God. This has been the most brutal 5 years.
No shit. No fucking shit. I mean, it's like, I still can't, like, we're in it, so you're just dealing with it. But I was thinking about what it's going to be like in 20 years when hopefully we have a normal country, a normal democracy. And we're looking back and we're like, oh my God, remember when that, remember, I mean, it was like, we're still in the COVID fucking hell. And so it's worse than ever. And it's like, I'm looking forward to thinking back to the time that,
and we're like,
you know,
we can't believe we endured that.
Right. And it's over. It's so far behind us.
We lost a year because we had this inept racist, rapist, white supremacist in office, because 70 million voters in our country think that he's doing a fabulous job.
Right.
And so here we are just waiting. And those 4 years dragged on like a decade or two. I know. And then the last year of his presidency, because he refused to acknowledge that we had a deadly pandemic on our hands.
Yeah.
400,000 people died. Because we're on the precipice of that.
Right.
And we lost a year of our lives and people went hungry and lost their homes and lost their jobs and lost their, you know, their children had to do school from the other side of a computer if they had a computer.
Right.
Like,
right.
That's, you know, we're in luxury land over here because my kids have computers and we have internet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's, you know, it is so much of, our society, you know, the people that aren't active on Twitter that are just really trying to make ends meet and make sure that they've got, you know, kid to put food to put on the table for their kids.
Yeah.
Like he's ruined so much.
Oh, so much.
And the fact that we lost this year, like, I've lost track of time.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. For me though, it's like, I can't necessarily say I feel like I personally lost a year. I lost time with people I love. And that's upsetting to me. And I mean, we all have.
Which
a lot of us have.
Mia.
Yeah. Mia. Yes, that fucking... Oh, my God. She's so cute. She sent me... Okay,
Kim.
So
Kim.
Except, you know what? I think the reason they used Kim was because my brother knows me as Kimberly. He calls me Kimberly. But I think Kim is just easier. So they let her just write Kim. And then... It was so cute. She says, I miss you and I really wish you could come over to my house. Oh my God.
I know.
And then, but she...
Punch me in the heart.
I found out though, I mean, I don't know, I think I might have said this on the after party, but her hair was falling out and I was totally freaking out about this because I thought, is this some genetic thing? But it turns out it's eczema and both my stepmother and my brother have it. They've never lost hair. But I think what's happening is she's stressed out over COVID and, you know, her father got it. Her aunt and uncle got it. Her father got it and had to like basically live in the basement. So she didn't have any, she couldn't see him. She knew he was down there, but she couldn't see him. And she, you know, and then she heard Fauci say that it was never going to go away on the news. And she said to my stepmother, she freaked out. She's like, it's never going to go away. And my stepmother had to explain to her that, okay, we're going to get vaccines. It's going to be like the flu, but she's six. She can only process things, you know, in a way that we don't. So I'm hoping, I know they gave her some cortisone shots or something like that, but I'm hoping that stops it. And then, you know, but it's just so sad because she's obviously, she's just a sweet little 6 year old. And I was very upset when I heard that her hair was falling out. I mean, you know, this is weird too, just on another subject. I noticed last year that my hair started to thin and I was very worried about it. And then around, you know, so it was last like Christmas, I started noticing it, and I felt like I had lost maybe a third or a fourth of my hair, of my volume. It felt like I had lost that much when I would hold it back. And then over the summer, it started getting thicker again. And then now it's thinner again. And I don't know what the fuck's going on. I have no idea what this means.
It means we live in a hellscape.
I fucking don't. It's like, this is hormonal? What the fuck is going on?
And do not underestimate the power of the hormone.
No shit. And it's like, is it going to get thicker again this summer? I hope so. I'm like, please, because it's making me nervous. And the weird thing is that the very bot, like around my neck, the hairline around my neck, usually, you know, there are, I don't know what they're called, but they're just like little hairs that never grow very long. You know, maybe they grow 2 or 3 inches. But it was just like that one little layer. Now, and this, I noticed this last year, it's like there's this whole section of hair that doesn't seem to grow past 2 or 3 inches. And so I don't know what's going on with that either. I'm not really overly concerned. I don't know. You know, I mean, I've been trying to get more protein and all that stuff. So I don't know if it's protein. I don't know what the deal is. But it's a little upsetting. And the thing that sucks is that I am so stuck in the 80s and 90s that I wear a scrunchie at home. You know, I just put my hair back in a scrunchie. And it just, because my hair is thinner now, it's constantly falling out because I sleep that way. And, you know, it just every fucking time I turn my head, I have to fix it. And it's like, what is going on? Please. What the?
I know.
I just can't Come even on. Deal. But anyway, going back to what I was saying, it's like I don't necessarily feel like I lost the year, but this year was impaired. I didn't get to see my mother the way that I usually see her. I didn't get to spend time with my niece or my father. So it's like that's kind of the thing, because in other news in Kimberly's life, things were okay. You know, I mean, I'm continuing to grow this podcast. I've interviewed really cool people. I've had some amazing experiences in my work situation, but it's just basically been in my work. And then my home situation is fine. You know, I mean, Bob and I are very comfortable and we're loners anyway. So it's not this big imposition on us. And I mean, both of us are like, I know Bob was talking about going to Gettysburg. He's like, maybe we could just take a drive up to Gettysburg. And I said, I can't do it because I'm afraid that I'm going to have to go to the bathroom and I really don't want to go into a public bathroom. I just don't.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, I'm just gonna hold off on that one.
Yeah,
but
it's scary. It's all so scary, and you know I haven't seen my mom for almost a year.
I know, I know. Your poor mom.
And
how is she doing? How is she doing?
She well, so she is done with her chemotherapy, mm-hmm. And it's funny. I said, "Wow, mom, 6 months of chemo done." She goes, "No." And I go, she goes, I started chemo in mid-October. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I really have no sense of time. None, zero.
Right,
she goes, I was
yeah.
diagnosed 6 months ago.
Right.
And then I said, oh, okay. So she was finished on Tuesday, just an update, because I know there are many loving people who are aware of the fact that my mom is battling metastatic ovarian cancer. And she is a trooper. She has a perfect circular head, and is quite possibly the cutest bald person I've ever laid my eyes on. She just went this morning for a CT scan to find out, you know, like how much the tumors have shrunk and is she a candidate for surgery to just remove it all.
Right.
Right? And, yes. You know, full hysterectomy, the whole thing. So where that was supposed to be yesterday, there was a power outage at the imaging center.
Oh, my God.
And she's like, screw it. I'll take the next available appointment at the imaging center because I don't have to go through the halls of the hospital, mm-hmm. Which because she's also super COVID sensitive.
Yes,
right. I mean, So anyway, we're going to find out as soon as you and I are finished here. I'm going to check in with her and see how that went. And
yeah, you're going to have to let me know.
Of course I will. but she's, you know, she's done really well and she's been feeling really good, dare I say, but compared to, you know, 3 months of just garbage.
Yeah, yeah.
And she lost a ton of weight.
Wow.
But she goes like, she said this after her last chemo. So my mom moved up. Here's the whole story. May I? Do you mind?
Yes, go
Can
for
I tell it.
It? Go okay. for it.
So we're Bay Area people. My mom was born in Santa Clara, like lived her whole life for the most part in Northern California, with the exception of a small stint when my brother and I were in elementary school down in Long Beach. Anyway, mom was living in San Francisco, living the life with her single girlfriends, like her best friend from middle school. They were hanging out in the city. They had a girls club. Like, she was living the life. And then the city started to really change. And she was getting a little old, you know, just like had turned maybe 70 or whatever. And she's like, I'm out of here. The house across the street from my brother and his wife in Portland, Oregon, went up for sale, and my mom got it and lives in it. And so you open her front door and you're looking at my brother's front door.
That's awesome.
So it's the best. Mm-hmm. And my brother has two daughters who are my kids' ages, and his wife is like a sister to me. They're just the most wonderful people. We go up there all the time. So this has been a rough year for everybody because we're not seeing each other and the family is so close. But mom has, you know, she's been isolating, and, you know, when my brother or his wife take her to chemo or for blood work or whatever, she rides in the back seat and they hazmat up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. N95 face shield, gloves. My sister-in-law works in a dental office. So like they have all of the top-notch safest possible, you know, PPE. Mm-hmm. And my mom has managed to stay healthy. And so have they. My brother and his wife are essential workers.
Yeah.
So, but it's just been like such a, I love my mom. We're so close. We talk literally every single day.
Yeah.
And that I haven't been able to see her when I would have probably seen her 4 times in 2020. Easy.
Mm-hmm.
Easy.
Right. Yeah.
And she would have come here. You know what I mean? Like, forget it. Just to know that the two of them are there, taking such unbelievable care of her and, you know, doing their best to keep her fed and to keep her, you know, in whatever she needs, they're there. And, so that has been like a huge relief.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think she's, you know, she's on the other side now. We just got to keep our fingers crossed that she's eligible for this surgery. Sorry for that long. That felt really good to tell that story.
No, yeah,
I'm sorry.
It's good. And I just keep like imagining and visualizing you calling me and saying my mom is okay and everything is good and it was all worth it. And that's just what I just keep seeing over and over and over in my head because I want that to be.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
My God. It's just... This fucking, I was going to say this year, but I mean, it's 2021. And, you know, I mean, everybody acted like, oh, as soon as it turns 2021, everything's going to be great. It's like, no, we're still in a fucking mound of shit. So
the first week of 2021 was garbage. Yeah, it was hot, fiery garbage.
But, you know, things can change. So
yeah, exactly. But I mean, like, think about this for just 1 second. Ossoff. Mm-hmm. And Warnock won.
I know.
We took back the Senate. We had about 13 minutes of glory.
Yeah, I know.
And then the Capitol was under siege.
Right, exactly. I know. I was fucking doing a podcast and I think I was doing it with Greg Oliar and we were like happy and it was like, woohoo. And then, you know, as soon as the podcast was finished, all hell broke loose. Literally. And so it's like, I don't know. And then did you fucking see Comey? Did you see what Comey said?
I'm done with Comey. I've been done
asshole.
With Comey for a really long time.
He thinks Trump should, he thinks Biden should pardon
him. We don't want to know what his opinion is not something we're soliciting.
Well, I was talking to my mom about it and she called him a narcissist. So I stole it and I tagged him and I said that he was a narcissist. But you know what I was thinking? And I don't know if this is accurate or not. I mean, it's like a guess, but maybe he doesn't even subconsciously feels guilty for what he did in 2016 to Hillary Clinton. And so if Biden were to pardon Trump, he'd sleep easier at night because he wouldn't feel so bad about his monumental fuck up. And I mean, I don't blame it all on Comey. You know, there were a lot of things at play, but he had something to do with it. He put doubt in people's minds and, you know, and he didn't do the same thing with Donald Trump. He didn't mention that Donald Trump was also under an investigation. he decided not to do that. So I watched the movie. I watched the Comey movie. I thought it was really good. But, you know, he likes to think that he's this fucking Boy Scout guy. And he's just a fucking asshole. He needs to shut the fuck up. I can't say fuck enough when it comes to Comey.
He ruined it for us.
Yeah. He needs to go away and knit. Shut the fuck up. Oh, my God. And then, you know, the other thing I just want to bring up is that Chris Hayes, I mean, we've been hearing about it before Chris Hayes talked about it. But, you know, Chris Hayes mentioned the fact that some of these Republican legislators were afraid to vote for impeachment because they thought that Trump's army, Trump's mob, was going to kill them. And they were crying. And it's like, first of all, Democrats have been getting death threats now since Trump was in office. And that didn't stop them from doing the right thing. Also, I think some of these people who are saying that they're worried, I think it just gives them cover to do what they want to do anyway. Oh, I don't want to because I'm afraid my family's going to get killed. But I mean, the idea that the president of the United States has ignited this army of violent people that are threatening the lives of members of Congress. This has never been done. This has never happened in our country. You know, there are so many ways Donald Trump has really hurt us and damaged the Republic. And this is one way that, I mean, I don't know what's the long-term outcome of that, of making legislators feel so afraid to vote. You know, it's extortion. It's a threat. It's terrorism. You know, I mean, it's absolute terrorism. And this country cannot run under, I mean, I appreciate that Biden doesn't want to be, and I don't know where he's going to be holding the inauguration. And I know there's all kinds of, I think it should be inside. And I think that it should be away from where these fucking lunatics could possibly get to them. And I think that for some time to come, Kamala and Joe need to kind of stay low. Just do their jobs and stay low. They don't need to run around outside. It's COVID. There's a fucking raging pandemic going on. So there's reason for them to just, you know, do their jobs, stay outside of the, you know, don't go outside too much. You know, I do not trust these people. And it doesn't mean we're living in fear. It means that, you know, they're still going to govern the same way. I just think in personal, because I've seen people argue they can't live in fear. It's like, it's not about living in fear. It's understanding when it's raining, you use an umbrella. You don't say, I'm not going to live in fear and let the rain ruin my outfit. It's like you take, you know, you take precautions when you need to take precautions. And I think they need to take precautions. So, you know, I don't know what they're going to do, but we're going to be dealing with this now for some time because they're going to, the thing is though, that I think the Trump mob is, for however long they're going to last, they're not going to have a leader anymore after next Wednesday. But how long is this going to go on where they threaten Republican members of Congress? So those legislators either get to hide behind that threat that they, you know, and say, oh, I can't because I'm threatened, and they would do, you know, or do they genuinely feel threatened? It's so ugly. It's so ugly. I can't fucking believe we've been through this. It's so disgusting.
I know.
Every once in a while, it just hits me.
It's crazy that we've made it.
I know. Thank God. And you know, we were so, do you remember those early days of podcasting? And I mean, when we first started, I don't remember the month that you came along. I know it was in 2017 sometime, but I mean, we were just like, we were wanting Mueller to basically save us. We were, you know, we were thinking that maybe somehow the 25th was going to be invoked or something, you know, and it never happened. But now all the way at the end, now all the shit is fucking raining. All hellfire is raining down on Donald Trump right now, and he deserves it.
Yeah, I think we thought that we weren't even going to have a year of him.
I know. So naive.
Okay. We thought. Do you remember when we were talking to Claude Taylor in the early days and we're like, yes, we can hang for another 6 months. We'll be all right. You know, that was like, that was that was in 2017. Yeah. March.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
What were we thinking? Just absolutely insane. Absolutely insane.
Yeah, because Claude genuinely thought that he would be out.
Oh, yeah.
But crazy. Unfortunately, but Claude did do a lot because, you know what? When we first started talking to him, poor guy, for those who don't know, he had a source and he was getting inside info. And then I think that maybe he was just very excited about this new role that he had, because I do believe he's a patriot, that somebody reached out to him and they're like, hey, who did they say they were with? Can't remember. Oh God. I know. Oh God. It wasn't Epstein. They said they were with somebody, that they had inside information. And it wasn't about Trump. It was somebody else. But it had to do with Trump. And then so he didn't even vet them. And he started sharing the information they were feeding him. And then it turned out that they were basically fucking with him and they didn't have anything. And then he did a mea culpa. And then, you know, and then he just went straight in to Mr. Fucking Resistance Billboard Man. And, you know, trolling with the rat, trolling with the billboards. And I do believe that those billboards and his presence sometimes at some of those, you know, whether he was driving through DC with like a van that had a billboard on it or something, I think they did kind of help. Every little thing helped.
Yeah.
So, you know, I give it to him because I'm sure he was embarrassed. But you know what? I mean, we're all human. We all make mistakes. And, you know, I try very hard. Oh, wait, you know what? Let me double check this. Hold on. I have a little bit of tiny breaking news about me.
Ooh. What?
I just reached 59,000 followers.
Wow.
I'm only 1,000 away from 60. So woohoo. But I mean, what I was going to say is that as your Twitter followers grow, and at that time, I mean, he was just, you know, his Twitter feed was exploding. And I don't know how many he had at that point, but maybe 100,000 or something like that. And so, you know, I mean, it's like, I'm not going to say he got too big for his britches, but I think he was excited. And I think he liked what was happening. And, you know, he liked the attention. And unfortunately, he liked it so much that he didn't just say, you know what, I need to vet you. I need to figure out who you are. But in the end, I'm not going to, like, hold that against him. Because, like I said, I do think that he did a lot as the resistance, as part of the resistance. And so... Mm-hmm. You know, but now
he sure did.
I see all these people with resistance still in their description, and it's like, but now the Democrats have the majority of power, so the resistance would have to be on the Republican side. It's going to be hard for me to not say Trump a lot now. You know, like, he's going to be gone, but I feel like it's still his party.
I can't wait for. Can you hear? There's just so much to say, but here's something that I want to say. Can you imagine what it must be like to be in his presence?
Oh my God, yeah.
Since last Wednesday?
Oh my God.
Like, you know, he lost Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
He lost Shopify.
And Pinterest.
And Pinterest. I mean, I would see the tweets because I would look them, you know, I look at Twitter and I, you know, people, news folks and people like you who I follow that would, you know, comment on it, and I would comment on it and all that jazz. But now it's like, you know, I look forward to having space in my life where I'm not thinking about him and his rotten children. And you know what I mean? And, you know, the fact that he separated children from their parents at the border, which, you know, so many horrifying things have happened since then. But like, I'm not, like, there's so much that we cannot forget or let him off the hook for just because he lost.
Right. No.
And so I'm really looking forward to saying his name, but saying his name in terms of, like, and now justice around this horrible thing that Trump did is what's happening. And I think that's
like
going to be
Trump's 30-year prison term, like his prison sentence or something.
Letitia James with the smackdown.
Right. Yes.
You know, Bill de Blasio saying, oh yeah, we're coming after him. you know, it's going to be delicious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
for, you know, and so all the, you know, the, it, but still then on top of that, so that's kind of, that's good, right? That he's going to get hopefully prosecuted and have to pay for his crimes. But what I'm also really looking forward to is watching all of these amazing people that the Biden-Harris team have put into place. And all of these wonderful, you know, the fact that we've taken back the Senate so that we can start, you know, just to steal a term, building back.
Yeah.
And taking care of, you know, I love to go back to my absolute number one mentor and dream politician, Julian Castro. Mm-hmm. When you put people first in everything you do as a public servant, that's just good. And good things come. And you know, part of, like, I just want to go back to, you know, the beginning of our conversation when you were saying, you know, we don't know what you're going to do. We don't know what your vocation is going to be or whatever, what's next for me. What I learned over the course of the last 2 years and really over the course of the last five, because I decided to run for office because of Trump. And because, you know, I told you, and I've told this a million times, because my children were afraid.
Yeah.
They were afraid that they were going to be sent away because of their ethnicity. And I knew something was going to have to be done. What can I do, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So now my lane is public service, and the things, the stuff I'm exploring are like, I'm going to do something that actually is part of the solution. Mm-hmm. Whether, you know, whether that's, oh my God, working for an elected, which would be a dream, working for an organization that provides healthcare or helps people get access to healthcare, just part of the solution. Like, thank you, Trump, for lighting that fire. And I want to, and then thank you, you know, to the people that I've had the pleasure of calling mentors.
Right.
who really are part of that solution and who really are putting people first in everything that they do.
Yeah.
Well, when everybody has a shot,
yes,
it's like, come on, everyone deserves an opportunity to prosper.
Right.
So there's a lot of work that has to happen in order for that to be a reality. I want to be a part of that anyway.
Well, yeah. And I think that, you make a good point that it's so nice. I mean, I'm going to focus still on Trump in a second, but we've been focusing on him so much. I mean, he's the president of the United States, so you have to focus on, and not only, I mean, we don't always focus on the president. When Barack Obama was president, I mean, it wasn't like every day was like Barack said this and Barack did that and Barack said this. I mean, I'm sure the Republicans were doing that, but overall, the country wasn't doing it. And with Trump, it was a different story. And it's just going to be so nice. It is nice right now not having him on Twitter. I know Bob had pointed out that it's like he actually, I can't say that Bob thinks he should be on Twitter because that's not what he thinks. But at the same time, it does, it gave him a gauge, right? What's he thinking? What's going on? Right now, we kind of don't know. I know that he can use the POTUS account for his stupid videos and stuff, but he can't, you know, I know he tried to tweet from it a couple of times right after he lost his Twitter account and they got deleted. Ha ha. I think he tried to use Hope Hicks account or something, but this is what is glorious. True. Did you see that Washington Post article called Trump is isolated and angry at aides for failing to defend him as he is impeached again? Did you read that?
No.
Okay. Here's a lovely, let me get to, My favorite. Okay. Paragraph. As he watched impeachment quickly gain steam, Trump was upset generally that virtually nobody is defending him, including Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany, senior advisor of, so basically, Kushner, Kudlow, Robert, National Secretary Advisor O'Brien, and then Mark Meadows. So basically, it says the president is pretty wound up. And
what about Stephen Miller?
I don't know what's going on with him.
Where is that satanic creature?
That they don't mention him. And you know that he doesn't want to pay Giuliani's fees, right? You saw that?
Oh, I thought I dreamt that.
No, okay, that's real.
That's...
He says, it says Trump has instructed aides not to pay Giuliani's legal fees. They said Trump has privately expressed concern with some of Giuliani's moves and did not appreciate a demand from Giuliani for $20,000 a day in fees for his work attempting to overturn the election. Oh Fucking, oh my God. You know.
Meanwhile, did you hear stupid ass Giuliani accidentally called the wrong senator when he was trying to call Tommy?
These idiots. It's like the fucking Keystone administration. Oh my God. They're so dumb. But that's the thing. I mean, we've been saying it and we're going to keep saying it. There might be a smart Trump that comes along. I mean, look at Dick Cheney, right? He wasn't Trump because he was dangerous and he hurt the country, not in the way Trump did, but the guy is smart. But if we have a smart Trump who's into fascism, who's into autocracy, the same kinds of things, but Trump is just so indulgent. He was never able to just quietly go along. He could have done so much more damage. He could have won a second term. That's so sad to say about the people in this country. But if he would have, I mean, it's just as simple as if he would have let Fauci do his thing, he probably would have won. I think he might have won with a landslide.
Right. I think, you know, I mean, look at the crew that went to the Capitol, right? Like, mm-hmm. I know with the, there were teachers, doctors, firefighters, police. It's not, you know, someone was saying, don't say that this is just ignorant,
right.
Idiot,
yes.
Types. Because this, like you just, to your point, there are smart people who share these values, mm-hmm. that have this white supremacist, yeah. angle. I mean, you know, Josh Hawley.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. But he blew it. His fist in the air, like that's his,
right.
That's who he is forever.
Mm-hmm.
That,
yeah,
picture,
exactly.
is going to be in history books.
Yeah.
That story will be told this time and the history books are going to have all sorts of different pictures. And that mofo with his fist in the air and his too small suit, that's in the book.
Yeah, definitely.
And I pray to God, they get forced out.
Yeah, me too. I hope so. I hope Ted Cruz is one of them because he, you know, the corporate America is like, fuck you people. If you supported this insurrection or supported not so much the insurrection, but going against the Electoral College, we're not going to give you money. I wish they would do the same at Fox News because Fox News is still spreading the lies. I wish that they would do that because clearly corporate America has a lot of pull. And, you know, I mean, I'm not somebody who always, I'm not a big fan of corporate America all the time, but hey, I do see the value. I just think they need to be regulated. I don't think corporate America,
yeah.
should be able to not pay any taxes and we have to pay all the taxes. I mean, there should be regulations. They shouldn't just get to do whatever the fuck they want because we know when there's no regulations, they will do things that hurt people. They just don't care because their bottom line is dollars and that's all they care about. So that's why they need regulation. I'm not like an anti-corporatist. I never wanted to work for a corporate company. I never wanted to live in corporate apartments. I didn't ever want to really, you know, I always liked the independent, you know, whenever I, like, when I were, I did work for a couple of corporate, I had one good experience at a corporate job, and I was a salesperson, but that's because the corporate pretty much left us alone, and they let the sales manager and the, whatever he was called, district manager to do what they wanted. And they were cool managers, so it worked out. But I worked for another corporate company. Oh my God. It was, I don't want to say their name because I don't want to get in trouble, but they were the fucking worst. They were the fucking worst. They cheated, they lied, they were awful. And it was so bad that when I got hired, I would walk into a store or something because I sold giftware and I would announce who I was and the company I worked for. And I'm not even kidding. I would get kicked out. They're like, no, 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 you can't come in. And I did win some of these people back and I wound up getting fired anyway because they were a corporate fucking mess.
I
got fired because the economy was starting to suck. I just have to defend myself for a minute. But I got fired because the economy was starting to suck and I would walk into somebody's store and the last order that they ordered for me, number one, had never been completely fulfilled. Even if it was 6 months later, if they ordered $1,000 worth of stuff, they were lucky to get $300 dollars worth of merchandise because the company that I worked for was so fucked up that everything was on back order all the time. And then, so they hadn't sold anything from our last time. Plus they hadn't sold things from other vendors. So they were like, I'm sorry, I can't order anything. And so this company had what they called core merchandise. And then they had this other thing that was this other product that was a plush toy that was like crazy fucking popular. And I literally took my sales from maybe $1,000 a month to $60,000 or $70,000 a month in this plush toy. And they didn't mm-hmm. even consider that. And I had to actually work for those orders. I mean, it wasn't just like easy peasy. But this company decided that it was easy peasy and it didn't count. And because the core merchandise wasn't selling, which was not my fault because I couldn't help the fact that these store owners weren't getting rid of their merchandise. You know, they fired me, but they fired a bunch of people. I wasn't the only one, but I hated the corporate environment. So it's like, but you know, I think that I'm grateful for these corporations that are, because money fucking talks and we live in a money driven world. But you know what? I have to go back though. I want to go back because as you were saying that there are, you know, there's the idiots that got caught in the insurrection and the dumbasses, but then there's also the smart people. So check this out. For those who don't know, let's see. They've arrested the man who threw the fire extinguisher at the police capital. At the police on Capitol Siege Day. Who is he? Retired firefighter Robert Sanford of Chester, PA. He faces 3 federal felonies, and then this guy, it's Eric Ding. I don't know how to Feigl Ding. I don't know how to say his name. Anyway, he says, now let this sink in. A man who dedicated his entire career to putting out fires is now charged with assault for throwing a fire extinguisher.
And being stupid enough to wear a beanie that said CFD, Chester Fire Department.
Idiots. Oh my God, they're fucking idiots.
Jeez, obeso.
I tell you, I mean, let's just hope they stay idiots. You know, and there's like this thing. It's like, you know, there's this MAGA member in my family, and I don't want to ask her what she thinks. And I would never. I mean, I don't talk to her about politics anyway. But it's like, mm-hmm. okay, it's one. I mean, I felt like because she had always been a good relative to me outside of anything politics, you know, when I was a little girl. She was a wonderful relative. When, you know, as an adult, she's always been generous with me and kind towards me. And so we, you know, she even read my book, American Woman, which is very liberal. And she's not liberal. She's a MAGA cultist now. And so, you know, I mean, she read that book and I even told her, she's like, she asked to read. And I said, look, it's very liberal. I know I'm going to say things in this book to piss you off. So you do not have to feel obligated to read it. I totally appreciate it. And she's like, no, I want to. And she read it and she said really good things about it. I know she didn't agree.
That's
and
nice.
She even said she didn't agree with everything, but she thought it was written well and she enjoyed it, blah, blah, blah. So, but you know, and during this time of Trump's presidency, it's basically been, we don't talk about politics. My mother and her have not been so fortunate. I know that she knows how to push my mom's buttons and mm-hmm. my mom's buttons get pushed on this and, you know, and my mom doesn't try to push her buttons, but then usually there's some kind of hanging up. Okay. They hang up on each other. I've never had that relationship with her. My relationship is she's been my aunt and she's been, you know, loving toward me and all that. And so that's it. But now it's like, what if she supports this? What if she supports the insurrection?
No. No.
She might. She listens to Rush Limbaugh. You know who her favorite fucking politician is? Ted Cruz.
Oh, good God in heaven.
So I don't know what she thinks. And it's like, I don't want to know.
How
does anyone like him?
Any sane person find that smug?
Why?
Ding dong. That's my nice way of saying something that started with a P and ended with Rick.
His penis nose.
I mean, the fact that anyone supports him, and it just goes to show you that racism and hanging on, and white people hanging on to power mm-hmm. is a very powerful thing.
Yeah.
Because they'll vote for people like Paul Gosar,
mm-hmm.
and Lauren Boebert.
Right.
And who Marjorie Taylor Greene. That's, yeah, I know that. Congrats, by the way. Proud of you. You know, so that's just how that is.
Yeah.
That's what motivates. We know this. This is no secret, but right. that's how it goes.
Oh my God. It's like, well, I don't know where we're going to go. I don't know where we're going to go. I'm still worried about whatever is in front of us. You know, I'm trying very hard to just be positive and think in terms of, you know, like you were saying, focusing on some of these amazing people in Biden's administration, watching Kamala Harris shine. Although I know we're going to have to deal with fucking journalists who can't handle a fucking black woman vice president. They're not going to know what to do with themselves, and they're going to keep writing terrible headlines. And Soledad O'Brien has her work cut out for her because they're just going to be mm-hmm. fucking up all over the place. Mm-hmm. Soledad O'Brien should just be in charge of all news media. All of it. I guess Eric Bollert too, because he calls out the bull. Both like Eric Bollert and Soledad O'Brien are like my fucking heroes because they are always calling out the bullshit in journalism. And I mean, it's not, I don't want to be one of these people that says like the failing New York Times and, you know, you can't trust the news media. It's not the news media. Every once in a while, especially when it comes to like Post or the Times, if they get it wrong, they will issue a correction and they will say, okay, we got this wrong. So I don't care if media outlets get things wrong on occasion. As long as they say that they did, that's fine. Obviously, Fox News never does that. Fox News just puts out lies. And, you know, but it's like what they do that's so infuriating is that they don't even realize, and Politico is really guilty of this. The New York Times does it too. There's so much sexism. And it's basically just this patriarchal mindset that I don't even think people realize they have. And mm-hmm. they create these narratives and headlines, you know, and it's like, it's fucking maddening because it's just two different standards for men and women. And it doesn't seem that fucking hard, but right. it is because I think it's so ingrained. It's so ingrained.
It's just ingrained, but it's kind of like I'm over it, man. Over it. I'm 55. We've been having this conversation. You know, my mom was women's libbing in the early 70s. Yeah. And where are we now?
Exactly. Fucking A. That's what I just keep asking all the time. What the fuck? When I was young.
Women's libbing.
Yeah.
Women's libbing. I mean, come on. I don't think young people are even familiar with that.
Yeah. It's so women's far away. Lib. It was like 70s.
Right. But this is a fight. This is a struggle that our moms were on the front lines with, you know, no bras on with mm-hmm. their fists in the air. Like, yeah. Come on.
Right. Yeah, and still, I mean, granted, we've definitely made strides. I mean, we're getting a finally, 40-some years later, we're getting a woman as vice president. And hopefully the next president will be a woman, hopefully. But, and then, you know, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with Equal Rights Amendment. If we can get that passed, it would make such a difference. Because for those who are not aware, you know, I mean, it just finally got the last three states needed. There's got to be there's a legal battle to remove the expired deadline. But I think because the deadline had been, like, it expired once and then they attached an extension, the word I was searching for. And so mm-hmm. I think they can, because there's been an extension, they can just put on another extension, or which, you know, it's over now. They've already got the votes they needed, or the states the last three states, but they could either extend it or they could just get rid of the, you know, Congress can decide whatever the fuck they want. And so I don't know what's going to happen, but if the ERA finally does get codified into the Constitution, then basically when somebody is discriminated against, and they will be based on gender, then they can take it to court. And if, you know, it can eventually go to the Supreme Court. And then what happens is other, you know, businesses or organizations that feel comfortable discriminating won't feel comfortable because they know that there will be legal consequences. So it's this whole process that has to go down. even though mm-hmm. it would be unconstitutional. That's what it is. It's just like the idea with the baking the cake. That was discrimination. The bakery didn't want to bake a cake for a gay couple. So that was, although of course they got religious liberty and they get to do it. But I mean, it still went to the Supreme Court, and I think we have anti-discriminatory laws, but it still had to go to the Supreme Court. And so that's what will wind up happening with the ERA. And I hope that we can get, that's something that I think Biden needs to focus on immediately. I certainly mm-hmm. hope Alyssa Milano is in his fucking ear, because I don't know what's going to happen in 2022. And we got to get this shit done now while we have the power to do it. And right. Stephen Breyer, 82-year-old liberal justice, needs to step the fuck down. He needs to step down because he's been around. I don't remember. I think Clinton appointed him. He's been here for quite some time and he's done his job. And now it's time to put a younger liberal judge in. That's what we need to do. And we also need to expand the courts. I don't know if Biden's going to do that, but I hope that he does.
I do too. I totally do. And doesn't that just take a majority vote?
I think so. I don't know enough
to expand the courts.
I don't know enough about that, but I think so.
I feel like my husband and I are constantly researching things like this. You know? And my husband's a lawyer, and he gets how it all works, but I'll just Google stuff and be like, okay, so in order to convict, it's a 2/3 vote. In order to pass, you know, such and such, like expanding the courts, I think it's just a majority.
Interesting. So wait, I want to go back to conviction. Have you been looking that up?
No.
Oh, because somebody...
I mean, maybe, but my mind is like a sieve because there's so much.
Right. I know.
There's so much fucking injustice that it's just nonstop. Right.
Well, the reason I'm asking is because somebody had commented on one of my tweets that conviction could have a whole bunch of different restrictions. So, like, I think the impeachment that went down is saying that he can't run for office again, right? Am I right about that?
Right.
Okay.
Well, I think my understanding is, but do not, I am not gospel, but I think that he has to be convicted in order not to run.
Okay, I'm not sure.
The Senate has to vote.
I'm not sure about that. And then, so then, what comes with that is also, now this person said, and there's some random person on Twitter who I don't know, didn't have a blue check. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So, but they had said it has to do with pension. It has to do with Secret Service. So I don't think that he should be getting any fucking pension or Secret Service, because the taxpayers pay for that. He's a fucking traitor to this country. He should not get protection. He should not get a pension. So I don't know, you know, although, oh God, now I think my mother had said something. She looked it up and she said that even though there are certain restrictions that might affect him as far as pension and stuff like that, that it probably wouldn't. So I don't know why it probably wouldn't. I don't know why the probably wouldn't part would be in there, but I don't know I don't know enough to know about that. But I don't even know if they're going to convict him, because now it's not going to come up until after Biden is president. And are the Republicans going to cry because they think they're going to be killed? I mean, is that what they're going to do? They're like, I can't convict him because they're going to kill me. So, I mean, I don't know.
I just looked this up while we were, you know, asking the question. The Constitution explicitly says the Senate could prevent Trump, if convicted,
okay,
from ever holding office
again.
Fuck. So they have to convict him. Ugh. and I'm pretty darn sure that's a 2/3 vote.
Okay. Well, that's probably not going to happen.
That's going to take more research, and then I'll tune out.
Don't
see
that happening.
With you on this.
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
I don't. You know what? There. Listen, the people. Here's the thing. White supremacists who follow the president stormed the Capitol to kill elected officials. They killed a police officer. They were in Nancy Pelosi's office.
Yeah, they wanted to kill her and Mike Pence.
Because, and they wanted to hang Mike Pence.
Mm-hmm.
And if those folks hadn't been on lockdown, Republicans without masks making Jayapal and another woman, another, I can't remember her last name, the congresswoman from New Jersey, who's 75.
Oh,
and
right.
A cancer
yes.
survivor,
yeah,
sick
yeah.
with COVID.
Yes.
Because they laughed in the faces
assholes.
Of the aides that were offering the masks. Okay, these people are garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Almost 400,000 dead, and they're laughing at and mocking the aide who is saying, please put a mask on to keep us all safe.
Yeah.
And now folks have COVID. And Jayapal's husband has COVID too.
Yes, I saw that.
Okay,
I got sidetracked.
But these folks wanted to commit
yes.
murder.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I'm sorry that you're fearing for your family's lives. That's horrible.
Right.
That anyone would have to, but every single Democrat that voted to
yeah.
impeach him for the second time has been living with that fear for four solid
years.
Yeah, and
they need to talk to Gretchen Whitmer, who, you know, they planned to kidnap her. And,
right.
you know, AOC said that she was worried for her life, that she felt that she was going to be kidnapped and murdered. So, yeah, the Democrats are living with it all fucking day long, and they're still doing mm-hmm. the right thing. Mm-hmm. They're not allowing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so funny to me. It's not funny, but it's so infuriating to me that the Republicans always scream that they're not victims and that they're not going to live their lives in fear of COVID, that they can't even be bothered to put a fucking mask on to help anybody else. But then when it comes to I can't impeach because I'm afraid, fuck them. Trump is the biggest fucking baby whiner victim I've ever seen in my life. He is such a everything is poor me. Poor me. Everything is so unfair. For 4 years, all we ever heard is how everything was so unfair to him. And frankly, he got the benefit of the doubt from the media when he did not deserve it. Especially after he said there were very fine people on both sides. That should have been it. He should have been fucking out at that point. But you know,
I think he should have been out the minute he separated children from
yes,
their parents.
Yes, so do I.
Border.
So, yes, true.
But once again, mm-hmm. You know, Latinos are throwaway people.
Yeah. Yeah,
they're,
exactly.
They're disposable human beings.
Yeah.
If you know, and some people don't even view them as on that level.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, they're given this, the guy with the horns and the fur vest. He's crying about not being able to eat organic food and he's not eating in prison when people at the border were force fed.
Yes. Yeah.
Nursing babies were ripped away from their mother's breasts.
Mm-hmm.
That is enough.
Yeah. He should have been removed.
Enough.
He should have been removed. He should have never won.
The Hollywood tape was enough. We thought
mm-hmm.
it was
yeah.
over then. We heard
yes.
it and he was still elected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the thing is
but her fucking emails.
Yeah, and even though, obviously, he got a lot of help from Russia, I think, you know,
yes.
I mean, maybe Russia was the one thing that tipped it, or Comey was the one thing that tipped it, but basically, he still had millions of people voting for him. He had 74 million people voting for him this time around. 70 fucking 4 million people. Not all of them are fucking yokels. You know, not all of them are redneck
well,
idiots.
Well, yeah, white, you know, racism is a powerful drug.
Yeah.
A powerful, you know, whatever, mindset.
Right. I just, you
thing.
Know, I really don't get it. I sound like an idiot Pollyanna. I mean, I cannot understand. It's like hating someone because they have brown eyes instead of blue eyes or something. You know, it's like, I don't understand this thing in human beings that makes us just want to hate other. You know, who was it? Somebody, I think it might have been Sarah Wood, who recently tweeted that basically people who have been out, you know, out of their hometowns, who have traveled, the more extensively you've traveled, and this isn't blanket for everyone, because of course there are people who have traveled and very well read and all that, and they're racist. But there, I think that the people who, you know, stay in one place their whole life are more susceptible to that kind of thinking. Because they are in their own little bubble and they've never been anywhere else to have to develop a kind of compassion. You know, I mean, I'm so mm-hmm. fortunate that I got to live in Soviet Russia. That was, at the time, I didn't realize the benefit of that, especially now going through a Trump presidency and understanding that, you know, what Russia has done. But I was very frightened once we figured out that Russia had successfully installed Trump. I was so frightened because I understood the Soviet mindset and Putin is a Soviet dude. So it's like, you know, it's very hard. I can tell you all day long what it was like, but you can't know till you experience it. And I did not live my life in fear over there. Basically, I knew that as a 12-year-old girl, what I understood was if I did something wrong, something bad might happen. If I pissed off Russian authority, I would, you know, either my father would get in trouble. And, you know, I mean, for instance, there was one night that he was driving, and I think we had this conversation before, but basically there are these underground tunnels in Russia because there's like so many lanes, and I remember like where I think it was around the American embassy where this happened, but there's like so many lanes on the road. It's not a highway, but because the road is so huge and there's so many cars, you can go underneath the road in the walkway. So this older Russian woman dressed in black at night was drunk and crossing the street, and my dad hit her. And
oh
yeah, bad. And so, you know, of course, all the authorities come, and I think this guy who worked for ABC News with my dad was there. And fortunately, just because of a fluke or whatever, my father avoided going to Siberian prison, you know, because that's what basically he was facing. And, you know, he had this guy named Nikolai who worked for ABC News, and Nikolai had a way, and he was able to talk to, and I think there were a couple of bystanders who, you know, spoke up for my dad. And that was really the only thing that saved him. But I understood that, you know, my dad could be sent off to Siberia for something that I did. So although I wasn't walking around in fear, and I felt a certain amount of safety because it was a police state, and I was just a young girl I was 5'8", so I didn't look like a young girl, but still, it was like I was a young girl, and I knew that there were fucking policemen everywhere you went. So there was not a lot of, there wasn't a lot of crime on the streets that you could visually see. So, you know, there wasn't graffiti, there wasn't roaming gangs, it wasn't anything like that. So I felt a certain amount of safety, but I also understood the coldness of the Soviet, I mean, that fucking cold Soviet stare. And again, until you live through something like
God,
that,
I'm getting the chills.
You can't even understand. I mean, it's like, I just will never forget when I had this image of Russia before I went over there. And I mean, I was 12. I kind of visualized older buildings, kind of gray. And I was right about the gray, because it's fucking all gray. But even when it was a bright, sunny day, there's just this grayness. There was just this, like, dullness to everything. But, I mean, we got off the plane. I'm just fresh in Moscow. And the very young militiamen who worked at the airport, when you were going through customs, they stared at me as if I had a bomb in every pocket. And, I mean, I was like a 12-year-old geek. I was such a geek. And but that's the point. The whole point was to make you fearful, or to make you feel like if you dared step out of line, you would be fucking sorry. And, you know, I'll just shut up about this. And the other thing was that I missed a school trip and I was really bummed. But on a class trip in my seventh grade, they had gone to Tashkent, Samarkand, and Bukhara. And I didn't get to go because I was sick. But I guess one of the kids put their thumb through Brezhnev's face in a pamphlet, and they were detained for 6 hours and questioned.
What?
Yeah, for 12-year-olds sticking their thumb through Brezhnev's face. 6 fucking hours in the airport. They all missed their flight, and the teachers were questioned, the children were questioned. It was ridiculous. Fucking ridiculous.
Oh my God.
So, you know, I mean, it's like I felt when we found out that Putin had something to do with it, I was really fucking scared. And right, I feel like right, I had that extra insight that most people just didn't have. And,
yeah,
you know, I mean, I am not an expert or anything like that. I'm not an expert on Russia. I'm not an expert on Putin, but I lived it. So I have a certain amount of understanding, you know?
Sure. Totes. Wow.
But it's,
holy,
you know what?
Mackerel.
So, but it'll be interesting to see what happens if Trump is going to try to flee. I don't know what he clearly knows he's in legal trouble. There's legal trouble waiting for him on several, you know, whether it's money laundering, who knows what's going to happen with this fucking insurrection. I don't know, but he knows it. And so I know people keep saying, oh, Russia will take him. Russia doesn't fucking want him. Russia thinks he's a fucking idiot. He is their useful idiot. Putin doesn't give a shit about him. So I don't know where he's, what he's going to do or where he's going to go. But that dude's going to, he is, I can only imagine, like you were saying earlier, what his panicked mindset is like right now. I can't imagine being in his brain. It must be the most uncomfortable, horrible place ever. Oh my God.
Right. But see, here's the part, like, I guess maybe I, for a minute there, gave him a little bit of credit in thinking that, you know, he knows he lost, but he thinks he's told him he's drinking his own Kool-Aid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he's telling people, you know, I heard this on the news this morning that, no, I won. This is unfair. I won. Like, he's a lunatic.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, he has lunatic status. The man is not fit.
No.
Mentally fit. That's just my take. But someone who's going to sit and look and watch the democratic process that has been in place his entire life and say, yeah, oh, no, we really won in a landslide.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it.
Right.
And he's holding himself up, protecting himself from embarrassment and perhaps jail time and all of these things. But, like, I don't know. I can't even begin to try to imagine what, you know, his thought process is.
Yeah.
Because he's just cuckoo loo, as my mother would say.
I think
he's cuckoo loo.
I know we're going to have to wrap this up, but I will go to Mary Trump. And I think that, you know, Mary Trump has said, because he's never been held accountable for anything, I think probably a good guess would be that he's living in denial. And I think maybe now he realizes he went too far after Wednesday's insurrection. But
do you think?
I think he understands it. I think that he understands it in a way that he didn't before. But I think, and mainly because of what, you know, he did that stupid fucking video the other day, you know, pretending that he doesn't want there to be any violence.
Right.
You know, so he understands what's going on, but I think mostly he understands that he's in legal jeopardy. And so everything that I think that up until, and I don't know if he still believes that there's a shot for him. I really don't. But I think that up until the insurrection, he believed that somehow, some way, they were going to strong arm Congress into calling it for Trump. Because there was an article that I think it came out yesterday that Trump was, or it came out in the last several days, not Trump, Pence was looking to see if it was possible that he could call the election for Trump because Trump wanted him to. So, you know,
what's wrong with Pence?
He's so stupid. He's such a fucking weak, spineless little blob of whiteness.
He and his family were on lockdown.
Yeah.
And Trump didn't check in to say, are you guys okay?
I know. And then he's just got his head so far up Trump's rectum that he's like looking for, you know, possible ways out. But, you know, I think he's just one of those evangelical fucking assholes who thinks he's, you know, he probably has dreamed that God told him he's going to be president. So whatever he does is just serving God in his mind or something. I don't know. I don't know what his stupid line of reasoning is, but I think that Trump is finally coming to grips with the fact that he can't steal this election. And really, I think it just happened recently. I don't think that I think he thought he could do it. And now he's like, oh, I can't do it. And
I guess this isn't going to work out for me.
Yeah, this isn't going to work out. So now, you know, I mean, like I said, I was talking to my mom this morning and she thinks maybe he's like trying to figure out where to go. You know, where can he flee? Because he does know that he's going to have to face the fucking music. And, you know, maybe he'll keep his Secret Service and maybe he'll keep his pension, but he's going to be prosecuted. I know he's going to be prosecuted for something. He's committed so many fucking crimes and they're probably going to get him on money laundering. So, you know, it may not be all the other egregious shit that he's done, but maybe they will get him on money laundering. And he knows that. So we'll see. But that's a good way to end because, you know, maybe I'd love to just imagine Trump in jail. And let's go back to what my psychic said. She saw him in handcuffs. So please let her be right. Please, please. I hope that what she saw was accurate because she literally sees him in handcuffs being not dragged off, but, you know, basically just being taken away in handcuffs. So I hope that she's right about that. And anyway, so before we go, is there anything else you'd like to say?
I could talk for about two more hours on this. Can we do this again?
Of course.
Soon,
yes,
because I want to talk about what happens to his children.
Oh hell yes, yes we will.
Because I need them to pay.
Oh, thank
for
you.
For their crimes, because they were complicit.
Yes. Well, and she...
Anyway, okay, sorry. See, I just sucked you back in.
You did suck me back in. Okay, but Ivanka did commit crimes because she committed fraud. But anyway, we will talk about this. You will come back on. So before we go, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
Oh, my gosh. So I'm at Steph for Oakland, Stephfor Oakland. And I love it because I'm starting to get a little bit of love there. Yay. On Twitter. And I love Twitter. and I love seeing all of your stuff. And I love that we get to talk and that there are people who are willing to listen to these conversations. Oh, and I sort of it makes me happy. It just makes me so happy.
Well, always having you on makes me happy. You're like my favorite. And then of course you can find you can find me at author Kimberly, KimberlEY. And then also my books are on Amazon at Kimberly Johnson. Check them out. If you like them, please give me a review and please review the show on iTunes/Apple Podcasts. That would be super duper awesome. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Steph, for being on. And we will see you next week.
My pleasure. Thank you, Kimberly. Bye-bye. Bye, everybody.
Bye.